If you have a Bible with you, please turn to Genesis chapter 17. Reading from verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, O the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then please turn one more verse to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 13. Verse from verse 12 to verse 14. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. As we have read this passage, and the title of this passage is, what do you think of God? What think ye of God? I remember here when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with his disciples, he asked his disciples this question, what do you think of me? What do you think of Christ? And then the disciples say, oh, somebody say you are this and that. They said, but Jesus Christ said, what do you think of me? And with that, I ask the same question. I ask myself this question, what do I think of God? What do you think of God? So far, we always think of God. So easily we use the name God, 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 God. And then we give a mental assent, an understanding of God, a mental or intellectual understanding of God. God, who is God? God is Almighty. God is the one in truth. God is the one who created these heavens and this earth, because it's what the Bible says. If you are a Christian, you say the Bible says. If you are not a Christian, yet your idea, the concept of God is that he is Almighty. He's all-powerful. Even in one religion, the adherents of that religion and say, their holy book is as without mistake. Powerful. No mistake at all. Their God is all-powerful. What is your God? What about your God? What the Bible says. Now we have here in Genesis chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I, the Almighty God, walk before, and so commanded him, walk before me and be thou perfect. I, the Lord, L-O-R-D, spelled with the capital letter there, means Jehovah. Just as we have sung the song, Jehovah the hymn. Jehovah, God Almighty. Yafah Elohim is God. Almighty El Shaddai. That's the name of our God. Yahweh. Some people pronounce it Yahweh Elohim El Shaddai. That is our God, the one living, the only one and living true God. Now, what is your idea? If you have a low view of God, it's going to affect everything. Your life, how do you conduct your life on this earth? If you have a low view of God. And by low view, I mean that you have only a mental understanding or an intellectual understanding of God. You can write one whole paper about God. How wonderful, how strong, how powerful it is. He created this whole world. If you only have that knowledge in your head. But if you have a high view of God, I believe that it's not only in your head, but it's also in your heart, where you make decisions, a volitional understanding also of God. You understand God with your mind, but also volitionally, your will, having understood God, you know how to relate to it. It is going to affect your thinking, your speaking, your everything. So, what is your view? High view or low view? And I believe with all my heart that if you are truly born again Christian, you want to have a high view of God. And we should. We should always have this view of God, strong view of God. It is important. As we have read, you will find that Abraham and Sarah, they faltered. They did not have that high view at first. Well, God promised Abraham everything. The first time Abraham believed, and I believe God gave him that faith to believe, and it was accounted righteousness for him. But later on, God also said that out of him, Sarah, together, they will have a son, and they will pass, or Sarah will pass childbearing age. When God called him, he was 75 years old, and Sarah was 65. And God promised them that he will child. 10 years later, all right, we'll find later on, 10 years later, his faith wavered. God promised. How did his faith wavered? Sarah couldn't wait. 10 years later, at the age of 85, Sarah said to Abraham, "Where's the son? Maybe in her own wisdom, God wants us to have a child through Hagar. Here is my maid, Hagar. So Abraham, could you please take Hagar and then be your wife and then produce a child, and that child is mine." And well, the neck that turns the head. Why Abraham agreed to that? I believe that Abraham also, faith was shaken. 10 years! Maybe Sarah was right. And so Abraham willingly did that, and then so they had a child, a son, Ishmael. 1 year later, when Abraham was 86 years old, a son was born, Ishmael. And you know this history. But that was not the son that God has promised. Then later on, 13 years later, then after that, 13 years later, you know, 13 years later, here in the Genesis chapter 17, and when Abraham was 99 years old, that's when Ishmael was 13 years old, when Abraham was 99 years old, don't talk about childbearing, past that already, God appeared to Abraham again. So Abraham was thought that after, you know, at the age of 85, 86, they got Ishmael. Abraham thought, this is the son. So he doesn't worry, he hasn't got, no need to exercise any more faith. He doesn't think of anything else. Because later on, when God says that you're going to have a son, and that boy is going to be out of Sarah, and that boy is going to be Isaac, Abraham said, let Ishmael be the son. Let Ishmael be the one who will be the seed that carries on. And God says, no. God earlier said it, out of your own bowels, out of your own flesh. Isaac, 99 years later. Even after that, when God promised again, he said, then God came. All right? And then at that part, in the earlier part, when God appeared to him, God said to him, I am the Almighty God. So in other words, Abraham had doubted about the almightiness of God, whether God is able. You find in just now chapter 18, when God later on, God after saying this to him, and then God came back again much later with another two angels and visited Abraham at Mamre. And there God specifically said, the time has come. And God said to Abraham, out your own bowels, Sarah. 1 year later, today, Sarah is going to have a son, and you must call him Isaac. And Sarah was in the tent, and then she overheard. And then she laughed inside. Laughed because she's happy, so old, I'm going to have a child. I think many of us here also would believe that, will also laugh at that time. Huh? If you are 99 years old, and then you see a 99 years old, old lady, and then pregnant, you'll be laughing. And so Sarah was laughing because she was very happy. She hasn't got a child. And she's going to have a child at 99 years old. Wow! She laughed. But she was, what kind of laugh was that? Laugh of, don't believe it. I don't think she believed it. Then when God, the Lord asks Abraham, where's your wife? Your wife is in the tent. Why is she laughing? Why was she laughing when you said this? And then Sarah said, no, I didn't laugh. You see, God did not hear. The Lord did not hear her laughter, you know, because she laughed inside. This is the Lord. The Lord knows. You don't laugh, you laugh inside your heart. The Lord also knows. And so Sarah said, no. Yeah, you're talking to the Lord, not to the angel, okay? It's the Lord. You laugh. And the Lord says, you're going to have. God asks one question. You find that in verse 14, I read to you, isn't it? Is anything what? Too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? You see, in other words, God himself put a test. God tests himself. You don't ask the question, God says, I'll ask, is anything too hard for him? He says, and so God is going to show. And I believe that throughout the years, God has shown that nothing is too hard throughout the years. Well, here in this case, we found out that later, yes, Abraham, Isaac was born a year later, as God has promised. What joy. But the important thing is here that God proves himself that he is the Lord God Almighty. Now, first of all, before that, let us God himself call himself the Lord. The Lord here spelled with a capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah or Yahweh. And this word is the name of God as a covenant name, the covenant name of God. What does it mean? If you look in the Exodus chapter 3, chapter 6, Okay, let's learn to Exodus chapters. Exodus chapters 6. Here the Lord says, then the Lord said unto verse 1, unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his hand. And God said unto Moses, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. And I appear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. We just read that one. Genesis 17:1. That means Elohim El Shaddai, God, the Creator. The Creator God, who is all-powerful, created the heavens and the earth, the sovereign God. And Almighty means all-powerful. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And now he appears to Moses saying, I am the Lord. In other words, what he says, I have also established my covenant with them, with Abraham, and to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, and wherein there they were strangers. Now look at verse 5. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. God hears. Look at further down to that verse 5. I have remembered my covenant. And then verse 6, God says, repeat the name again, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you. And verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. I am the Lord. Again, verse 8, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to it, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. The covenant name of God, but more importantly, you see there is the living God. A God who is very personal, who make a covenant, who hears, who sees, who knows. So this Almighty God, God Elohim, or Elohim, or God Almighty, is not only powerful and sovereign, He is also very near you. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He redeems you. You can have that relationship with Him. Do you understand? So the name of the Lord God, the one living and true God, as revealed in the Bible, is the Lord God Almighty. He came to Abraham. He made the covenant. He told Abraham that you weren't going to have a son. Sarah at an old age. And he waited. When he called Abraham, was 75 years old. And the time when Sarah gave birth, at that time, she was 90. Abraham was 100 years old. 99 years old. 100. 25 years later. Tested the faith of Abraham. Of course, during the period, I believe Abraham wavered. And then produced half Ishmael, you see, thinking that they are cleverer. When sometimes we think that we are cleverer, we have our own wisdom, instead of looking at God's word and then based on God's promises, we think we are better than God. Like Sarah and Abraham, they thought they were better than God. And many times we behave that way, isn't it? Why God this way? Oh, you mean that you know a better way? Isn't it? They say you know a better way than God. Huh? Why must be this way, God? Why not others? Why not this, why not that? We sometimes think that we are better than God. But if we follow God's ways, God's promises, stick onto it. And God has His timing, as God had told Abraham. At the appointed time, you will. So this is the Almighty God. The impossible things really happen. Nothing is too hard. God Himself says, nothing is too hard for me. Right throughout the ages, we will see that even God's people acknowledge that. Job acknowledged that too. Remember Job when he was tested? And then in Job 42, chapter 42, verse 2, when he was tested and then later on he was delivered, God appeared to him and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. See, here Job said. Now he was stricken. No, all his families were taken away, everything. His sons, children, all taken away. His wife told him, you better curse God and die. And then after he disappeared, I believe she died. And Job was left alone. And Satan wanted to keep on, because God has allowed Satan to afflict Job. And Job was full of sores, completely full of sores. No. You have not seen such a person. Have you seen such a person? Or full of sores until your friends come, you cannot recognize you. Cannot recognize. They were so shocked, their friends. Kept quiet for 1 week. No. Just look at him. Probably look at him. Are you Job? Are you Job? Inside. But he was Job. It's full of sores. Have to scratch. He suffered for some time. And then when God said, enough is enough, and delivered him. And he said, praise the Lord. nothing is impossible with God. That's what Job said. Daniel's friends, even were wonderful. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down before the gods of the Babylon. They refused. If you refuse, we'll throw you into the lion's den. And then when the king told him, all right, I give you one more chance. You bow down and then you will not be thrown into the lion's den. You'll be eaten up by the lions, torn by the lions. And then the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what he said then? I don't care whether you put us there, throw us. But, if you put us in the den, the lion's den, or into the fire, yes, my God can deliver me. But if my God does not deliver me, you see, they believe that God can do it. God can deliver them from the fire. But if my God will not, he wills, in his sovereign will, he say, I will not deliver you, I'll call you home to be with me. They say, we will also not worship your God. That is, in other words, they are willing to die. Huh? Of course, when they die already, they cannot worship. They are willing to die to be with God. That was their faith. They believe that God can deliver. And of course, we all know the history, what actually happened, that they were delivered. With that kind of faith, God honors it. That kind of faith honors God. And God is glorified and honored. And God blessed them. God let them live, save them, to let others see, so that others may fear God, and that the Lord God Almighty is the one true living God. An angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary. Say, Mary, the mother of Jesus, before she married Joseph, he said, you're going to have a child. A man child, a male child. And Mary said, how can it be? Very true. A virgin single woman cannot have a child. Not before, not today, not forever. I can say not forever. Men, scientists or medical scientists are trying their very best. Can a virgin single woman have a child without the male part? And I can say, from the word of God, will never happen. So Mary said, how can that be? Knowing that I'm not married, I've not known any man. What did Gabriel say? You will have with God, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is a stupendous miracle. Stupendous because that is one and only one. Stupendous miracle. Never happened before, now, or ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself during his ministry say that, for with God all things are possible. That time when Peter was saying, how can the camel so big go into the eye of a needle? You know what is the eye of a needle? A sewing needle is so small. And the camel is so big, how can it go through this? And some smart aleck say, oh, it's not that, that's not what God is saying. Camel, the eye of a camel means there is a rock structure in Israel where it is the shape of a eye needle. That's why camel can go in. If Jesus Christ is talking there, then Jesus Christ is talking nonsense. After that, he said, with God, everything is possible. Then what is so fantastic about this thing? Squeeze a bit, the camel can go through. Right? But this one is the eye of a needle, really. Sewing needle? You can take the biggest one, the biggest needle. The camel. Have you seen a camel? I've seen smelly camel. It will conquer. Go through. Go on. You must be talking nonsense that Jesus Christ. You must be talking nonsense. Really? What did Jesus Christ say? With God, everything is possible. Almighty God, everything is possible. Understand? This is your God. You believe? I hope you laugh with joy inside your heart. Wonderful, huh? My God, I laugh, yes. Your God, you know, so you don't be ashamed of your God. People say their God, my God is the true and living God, more powerful than your God, because their God is no God. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed of your God when you say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's all powerful. When you talk about Lord God Almighty, he's all powerful. You talk about Jehovah, he's all powerful. He's my God. How wonderful. You have to not be afraid. Fear not. Yes. Nothing is impossible. Now I must say that God does not lie. Our God does not lie. He cannot lie. What he said so, he will do it. That's your God. So what he said so in the scriptures, all his promises will come through. Now we have just read Psalm 89. And 89, that part of that psalm tells about God's covenant with David, Abraham, and then after that passed on to David. And God says that, I will protect David. The land that they have now, I'm going to give it to them forever. And I will protect them. And in ultimately, they will rule the world. There will come one who is greater than David, the greatest son of David. He is none other than Jesus Christ, who will rule the world. God says this. Will it happen? I don't know whether you know the history, a bit of the history of Israel. First of all, I might say straight away that Israel, the nation Israel, is a miracle. A miracle that today they are still living, or they are still alive and kicking. A miracle. You know why? If you read very carefully in their history, if you go to Israel and you look, go to their museum, and then they have pictures, they have screen pictures for you, or movies to show you how that nation has been dispersed all over the world and been persecuted all over the world. And we knew that first of all in AD 70, and the Romans came and dispersed, and Israelites all went over all the world. Actually, almost everywhere, people say everywhere you have Chinese, but everywhere also you have Jews. You go to South America, there are Jews there. And they're very well to do also. In the whole of Europe also, we have Jews. How about Singapore? Any Jew? Yes, there are Jews. Somebody asked me in Melbourne, are there Jews in Australia? Yeah, there are Jews in Australia. Not only Australia, but in Victoria. There are Jews. There's even a museum. And we went there to see. They're very proud race, proud of their religion. Proud of their contribution to the world. Very proud. Great nation. They are dispersed all over the world. 80, 70. And then God says what? I will give this land to them. From 80, 70 right up to 1940, 45, 48, they had no land at all. No land. And the land also was overrun by other nations. And then United Nations gave them. That's another miracle. How on earth give back this land to them? Caused a lot of problem. But once given, cannot take back. They are there. And that's their land. Because God says so. The impossible. After how many years? From AD 70 to 1948. Almost 2,000 years. Well, 1,900 years. Stateless. And now they have. You think they are going to add up? They will not get out. But yes, what will happen? Yes, they will try, and the Antichrist will try and persecute all the Jews. And 2/3 of Jews will be destroyed. 2/3. That's according to the word of God. In Zechariah, you read 2/3, left 1/3. And the 1/3, before they die, they will turn out to God and call Jehovah Yahweh Elohim El Shaddai. Help. They call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ will come down with one word. Drop dead. All drop dead. All their guns, everything all drop dead. Of course, their tanks, everything all finished. I didn't even make story. Or in the word of God, it will happen. I don't make story. You look easy. You, of course, the people unbelief say, Kong Ko. Chinese, telling story. People in Hong Kong say, talk Jesus. You know, talk Jesus means what? Talk nonsense. Oh, they have no eyes, but you have eyes, you can see what is happening today. Yes, Israel is under persecution, under attack. By which nation? All nation. What will happen is this. Iran has says that Israel must be what? Wiped out. And they have nuclear weapons. They were used. But Israel has said in the documentary, their leaders have said, we will not allow. The moment he has nuclear weapon and already said that we must be wiped out, we won't allow him there first. We will preempt, strike first. And if the other nations will not do it, that's what their leader says. If the other nations, European nations, American nations, do not do it, and they say they don't want to do it because they want to leave the dirty job to us, we'll do it for our survival. What will happen when they do it? These very nations all will go against Israel. All will converge and attack Israel. Already predicted. It will happen. See? And Israel will be destroyed. 2/3. Will not be completely, because in Psalm 89, God says He will protect. You cannot wipe out my chosen people. Neither can God say that anybody can wipe you and me. Years ago, there was a man who tried to destroy all Israel. All the Jews, Haman, he tried to destroy all. It did not happen. If it had happened today, there were no more Jews here. No Christ Jesus. We are all in our sins, condemned to hell. And God saved. Many years later, in 1945, in the Second World War, 1938 onwards, in 1945, and you have another man, you know, in the Second World War. Hitler also blamed all the Jews for all the ills of the world, of their country and the world, because the Jews were all too smart. And because they were Jews, killed them all. Tried to destroy. How many? 6 million out of 11 million. 6 million were guessed. Now they try to change history. How to change history? Yeah, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, there's no such thing. Holocaust, no such thing. They make up the story. You see, is it true? And the Japanese also, soldiers who came here and then committed all those atrocities, they also try to change history and say, there's no such thing. Our soldiers don't do this kind of thing. Well, thank God we are still living. Some of us are still living here, we know. Those of you in the Japanese war. You see? They try. They try to change all this. But coming back to here, God will. What is not... God is all-powerful. All these things. What He promised, He does. Something that is impossible. It will happen. It will happen. So we must be encouraged. All right? And what did God promise later? So Jesus Christ says, just continue to be what? Steadfast, unmovable or immovable, for your labor is not in vain. As you continue the work of Christ, do His work, do His will. Fear not. It will not be in vain. And Christ says what? I will come back again. When Christ will come back again, it means what? It means Singapore, you know. Singapore is now become a very beautiful country, right? Full of activities. Dr. Ng Eng Heng say, telling all the foreign students, Singapore students, come back. This country is developing, very challenging, many opportunities for you, many high rise. Every, see, unblock people become millionaires and big, towering, 40-story, 30-story. Well, the government is very strong. Everywhere is like this. And they are thinking of 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ahead to 2020, 30 and beyond. And crisis, what? I will come suddenly, soon, and destroy everything. Huh? You mean Singapore will be destroyed? Yeah. All gone, finished? Yeah. Unbelievable. How can that be? Right? You go down to the Marina Square, you see all those wonderful structures, all everything so big. How can this Pastor Stephen Koo talking nonsense? Yes, if it is from Pastor Stephen Koo, it is nonsense. No, it's not from me. It's the Word of God. Christ says He will come. What even God, Christ says more? He will destroy the whole world. The whole world will be destroyed by fire. Everything. And He will create a new heaven and new earth. What? Are you sure? Again, talk nonsense. Yeah, it is from Stephen Koo. It's nonsense, but it is from the Word of God. Read Revelation chapter 21, 22. I will create new heavens and new earth. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. This earth will be destroyed by fire, and God will create new one, new heaven, new earth. Understand? This is your God. This is my God. Nothing is impossible. You think it's impossible? No. What is all this? Actually, sometimes we think it's very big. Actually, no. How big is the earth in the... Actually, you ask the astronomer, he will tell you. The one who always see the sky, everything. You ask him, how big is Singapore? You tell me, how big? Let's say this whole room is the universe. Actually, you cannot see the edge. Now we can see the edge. Let's say, this whole room is the universe. How big is the earth? It is as big as a mustard seed. Don't go too near. Too near, your breath will blow it away. That small is the earth. The whole earth. Where is Singapore? Lama. Magnifying glass. Oh, there. That's Singapore. Where is Marina South? A square. Within Singapore. Nothing. You know, you take God. God, Almighty God, sees the whole thing like this. Where are you? That's why the psalmist say, what is man that you think of him, O Lord God? Why are we so precious in the sight of God? Because He created us to be His. He created us to be Him. That we glorify Him. And give us those intelligence, mind, heart, everything. We can control everything, universe. We can control the universe. And yet we all think that we are better than God. How foolish. But let us be proud of our God, the Lord God Almighty. And since He is this God Almighty, let us always believe, trust Him. And in everything, go to Him. He is your God. He is your Savior. The Lord God Almighty, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. Thank You for Your word, Lord. We pray, Father, that You will impress upon our mind and our heart who You truly are to us as You are revealed from Your word. We pray, Father, that we will, having You, knowing You through the Lord Jesus Christ, we always remain faithful to You, trust You, and do the things that would please You, to glorify and honor You. For that is Your purpose for our life. Thank You, Father. Bless everyone here, Lord, who has come and hear Your word. And we pray for any who have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, this day they may acknowledge the one and true living God, even You. And believe in Christ and be saved. This we pray, we ask, give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You.